right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so glad that you're here, whether it's your first time online here in the building. My name's Philip. I want to welcome you to Vertical Church. We're honored that you're here. We're believing the Lord is continuing to move. We pray that today will be helpful and encouraging as you look to follow Jesus. And so there's been a couple series on my heart that I've been wanting to be able to do, and still today is not that day. I was just praying. I could not seem to get a piece to go where I was excited and wanting to go. When that happens, I just go, okay, God, like, where do you want to go? And I couldn't shake the word turmoil. And I said, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, there's a lot of Bible verses that speak about that. And I kept just, as I prayed, I felt like the Lord was just like, Jesus teaches about turmoil. Like bring that this Sunday. So I don't know who this will be for, or maybe this is just, hey, Phil, are you willing to look like a fool in front of people? Okay, I don't know. But I believe that after prayer, it was John chapter 14 that the Lord really wanted us to go to. So John chapter 14 is where we're going to be. You can open up your Bible, the Bible app. If you don't have any of that, we're going to put the verses on the screen because we believe Genesis to Revelation is the word of God and applies to our life. We want you to be able to see it and follow along. If you would love a Bible for free, we'd love to give one to you. And so just let us know at the host table after the service. We'd love to give you a Bible for free. John chapter 14. And as you turn there, has anyone ever been stressed before? Ever dealt with anxiety? So it's not just me. If not, I'm not sure you're having the human experience that all of us are having. So part of my story is I've really had some deep bouts with anxiety before. You wouldn't believe it if you saw me now, but back in like 2018-ish, I lost like, it had to be like 60 plus pounds. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. It was a real struggle for me with anxiety. And so it's something that's on my heart. And so as we get into this, I believe the Lord has a word for us as we live in a world that can bring turmoil. You know, we live in a world that there's a lot of things going on right now. So John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Underline or highlight that. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? The context of this is Jesus has just told his disciples, basically, I'm going to be departing. And it has sent his disciples, the people who are closest to him, who have been with Jesus for years, has sent them into a state of turmoil, of anxiety, of stress, of panic. That Jesus, the one they've given their whole lives to follow, has just said, by the way, I'm leaving. And it's sheer panic in the camp. And so now John chapter 14 is Jesus trying to coach them. We don't have to live in turmoil. We don't have to live in panic and anxiety and stress. And so he says the first verse, don't let your hearts be troubled. One of those things that verse tells us then is, whose responsibility is it? Don't let. Jesus is saying, turmoil becomes a choice of what we let into our heart. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you, and we'll see it as we go through these verses, I'm giving you something internally, but by your choices, you can let some things into your life that don't need to be there, and it will rob you of what I have. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. We live in a world right now where there is wars going on, there's economic things going on, there's political things going on, there's financial and health things and all kinds of things. Have you guys discovered that? So it's possible to let some turmoil come into our lives and hearts. And then if you do live long enough, you start to realize, I live in a world that I can't control. I live in a world that I can't control. We cannot control the world around us, but we can decide what we let into our heart. We cannot control the world around us, but we can control what we let into our heart. That's what Jesus is teaching in this first verse. And so if you're newer here, I may offend you. If you've been here long enough, you've heard this before, you should not be offended at this point. I think it's your decision to watch Fox News and CNN. I think it's your decision to live your life on social media or not. And I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just going to speak truth. The data from non-Christians, so it's not biased toward Christian Bible beliefs, the data that has come in super clear that CNN and Fox News are not bringing peace to our hearts and minds. The reason being is their whole business model is not news. It's to give you a state of outrage. It becomes a drug. You become addicted to it, and you keep coming back for more and more of your fix. It's troubling the hearts of believers. Guys, right now, social media companies are being sued because they knew the detrimental effect it was having on young people, and they didn't change and kept going. They're being sued for that right now. So we need to understand that there's a lot of things that we're choosing to let into our life that are going to bring turmoil, are going to bring anxiety, are going to bring stress. And Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. I want to tell you something. I got off social media a while ago. You know what happened? I had more peace, and social media hasn't missed me for 1 minute. The craziest thing, the world keeps going round and round without Philip's opinion on social media. It's just shocking. It's shocking. The world be bopping along just fine without me on social media. I'm not saying you have to be like me and get off complete of social media. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying it shouldn't be where you spend the majority of your time. I think you're going to be okay if you don't spend a lot of time on CNN or Fox News, or I'll go even stuff for anytime. Anytime. I think there's other places you can go get your news. And so I'll give a shameless plug. It's called The Pour Over. It's an unbiased thing. They'll send you an email. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. If you're interested, send me an email. I'll get you set up. And so we can't control the world around us, but we can control what we let into our heart. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled, which means we could let our hearts be troubled, but that's not what he wants for us. Verse 6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus says point blank, the context of these verses, you may or may not have heard these before, but Jesus comes out point blank, says toward the end of his ministry, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one is coming to the Father except through me. Which is just this line in the sand moment of Jesus is not a good, just saying I'm a good person. Jesus is not just saying I'm some kind of teacher. I'm just some kind of prophet. Jesus point blank comes out and says, no one's going to heaven except through me. And so that's why when we celebrate in Easter things, he's put a line in the sand. And so if you've heard these verses before, people can label Christianity as like very exclusive and not inclusive. And I'm not trying to use words to trigger you. I'm just saying what gets said about these verses sometimes. But I believe these are actually super comforting verses. And Jesus is saying this to comfort his disciples who are now living in turmoil and panic and are fearful that Jesus is leaving. And he says, don't panic. Don't panic. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one's coming to the Father except through me. He's not saying this to be condemning or exclusive or anything. He says these verses to bring peace. And the reason these verses bring peace is the plan is in place, and I am not the plan. The plan is in place, and I am not the plan. As human beings, we can say that out loud. You can say it out loud if you want. The plan is in place, and I am not the plan. Jesus, in the moment of turmoil and panic and fear for his disciples, says, listen, the plan is already in place. Jesus says to them, I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. It's not on you. It's not on you. I've lived long enough where that's good news. It is good news that Philip is not part of the plan, okay? I can tell you, if Philip is part of the plan, we are taking on water right now. We are in trouble. But if this verse is true, that it's just solely on Jesus, who he is, the work he's done on the cross, and that the tomb is empty like we talked about last week, then that's good news. We're not taking on any water. The plan's already in place. It's not on me. It's not on you. It's all on Jesus. And that's actually really good news. Because that means I don't have to have anxiety about I need to be part of the solution. I don't have to have humans look at me and say, man, I got to have some of my trust in Phil, because if you do, you are going to be let down. I'm trying to help people find Jesus. Jesus is the plan. And so as we see, this verse is not trying to exclude people. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so this verse you're seeing is actually this invitation to all of humanity. Jesus is saying, I've not come to condemn you. I've come to invite you that I am the way, the truth, and life. No one is coming to the Father, but it's this invitation moment. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus replied, I've been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I speak are not my own. Underline or highlight this. But my Father who lives in me does his work through me. My Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. Again, we see a disciple, the person who's closest to Jesus for years, is confused. Okay, so this should be a moment of encouragement to all of us. Has anybody tried to follow Jesus for a little bit of time and you've ended up confused? You take a step back and you're like, I'm not really sure what the Lord's doing right here. I don't really know. Okay, well, the people who were closest to Jesus didn't have an answer for every single thing. So give yourself a little bit of grace if you go, I don't know exactly what God's doing, but I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled like Jesus taught me to do. I don't fully understand it. Well, even the people who were closest to Jesus while he walked this earth had those moments of like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, at the very beginning, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. Philip comes back, we don't know. So in these moments, we should see that as we as human beings who are not on the same playing field as God, we're going to have moments we don't fully get it. We just need to trust in God, just like Jesus said at the beginning of John chapter 14. The book of Hebrews tells us point blank, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's why you may be here or you may know people like this. They're trying to logic their way into the kingdom of heaven and they get super frustrated. And the reason being is because the way God's designed it is without faith in him, it's impossible to please him. We're not going to have the relationship, the connection to God that we're intended to have if we try to logic it and put ourselves on the same playing field as God. Because we're not God. It's not going to work that way. And that's super frustrating for people who try to logic their way into the kingdom of heaven, but that's how God has set it up. But that verse that underlines it, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. This is a huge point that Jesus is trying to make. Jesus, by the way, if we call ourselves a Christian, if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, what that's designed to mean is you follow in the ways of Christ. And so when Jesus teaches us something, all of us who say we're a Christian, our ears should go up and go, okay, this is what I need to apply to my life. This is the way I'm supposed to work in. Jesus says, it's the Father who works in me and through me. If that's the way Jesus does it, then we should have no other way of thinking about how to live life besides this. That is the Lord who's going to work in me and he's going to work through me. Again, I'm not the plan. I'm simply a vessel that the Lord is working in and through. And so what that tells us is control can bring turmoil. Control can bring turmoil. Have maybe anybody relate to me? Yeah, we got one. Praise Jesus. It's good to have you out here. Hannah always works on our tech team. She does a great job, but gets to be in the service today. Glad to have you. I'm somebody, men, can you relate to me? We like to fix problems. You ever experienced this? Yeah. Men, sometimes we've got to remember, no, it's the Lord who works in me and through me. If I try to control it, what I'm going to bring is ultimately turmoil because I'm adding myself as part of the equation to fix this. And so now I've met human beings, not you guys, some other people. What do we do as humans? We try to twist the teaching, okay? So don't call into your boss tomorrow on Monday morning and go, my pastor said I don't need to do the work. The Lord's going to do it through me. I'm not coming in today. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it comes to spiritual matters, don't try to control what God is supposed to be doing in and through you, because ultimately, are you trying to do the work or are you submitting to the work? Are you trying to do the work or submitting to the work? And that, honestly, as we go through this, that's what requires maturity. That's why I'm teaching. It calls us to maturity because all of us, if we can't learn to discern, I'm going to try to control the work rather than let the Lord do the work through me. And that's just hard. It takes time to discern the voice of the Lord. It takes time to grow in that. That's why I have grace and patience for you. I hope you have it for me. We work together to help each other grow in maturity, to go, no, I need Christ to work in me and through me. I don't need to try to control everything. I need to trust that God will be faithful to work in me and through me, just like he did with Jesus. And I'm trying to walk in the ways of Jesus. But when we give into the temptation of trying to control things, it will 100% of the time lead to an inner turmoil. If you go study the Greek word, what this inner turmoil, like what the depths of it mean, is if you close your eyes and you picture like this beautiful mountain range, and there's this lake at the bottom of it, and it's just this still, calm water. But something hits the water, and it sends all these waves around. That's what this level of turmoil is the water's supposed to be calm, but something has happened, and now there's turmoil in the water. There's waves going. There's ripples going. That's the picture of what the Lord says. Our soul is supposed to be designed to be at peace. But when we let those things in, it causes these ripple effects, these waves that go on in our life, and then that gets things out of balance. And controlling things rather than trusting the Lord, that's what will lead to this wave, to this ripple in the calmness of our soul. Verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Please underline or highlight this, because this is so important for the context of these verses, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. This is critical if we're going to work through these verses. Verse 14, you can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You may be newer to the Bible. This is the first time you've ever heard it, and you're like, wait, what did that just say? That said, I'm going to do some greater things than Jesus? Like, what? But if you've also been around church long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about. These verses get abused a lot. And the reason being is pride can bring turmoil. Pride can bring turmoil. The reason these verses get abused a lot is, if you've got an ego and you read these verses, what you see in these verses is, I'm going to do greater things than Jesus. You start picturing the great things you're going to do. Ego will absolutely have you miss the point of these verses. Pride will bring turmoil to your life. The reason is, these verses are given in the context not to bring turmoil, not to bring pride. The context of these verses is to bring peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. That if you'll do in context like it was, if we follow in Jesus, God's going to work in us and through us, then we're going to see God do great things, even greater things in us, and he's going to do even greater things through us so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes. That's why those verses said. And then, can I talk to the parents or grandparents in the room? Who runs your household? Is it you or the kids? And some of you are like, I don't want to answer that out loud right now. I can tell you, at least in our children's church right here, the adults are leading the room. The reason being is, when you have to ask for something, does it mean you're the child or the parent in the scenario? Come on, all right, praise Jesus, there's two of you. Some of you are like, I'm offended. I'm offended. How dare you say my kids can't run our household? Look, I'll talk on parenting at some point. We'll get there. But today, I'm just going to tell you, the Bible says men are supposed to be spiritual leaders. Then they're not supposed to lead the family to serve them. They're supposed to lead the family to serve Jesus. They're going to answer first and foremost to the Lord on the spiritual health of their family. Wives are going to have to answer for, did they help their husbands follow the Lord in their ways? Did they help their children grow in the ways of the Lord? Did they live a life where they were honored to the Lord and around those people around them? They have a big impact to play. And then children, it says point blank, children, obey your parents. Does it not? That's Old and New Testament. If you're a kid here, you're like, I don't like these verses. I understand. I'm just telling you. But there's a promise with that command to obey your parents that it will go well for you. Amen. So the Lord has designed the relationships of how that's supposed to work, but the children are supposed to be able to come to a parent and ask things. So Jesus is showing the dynamics. These verses are not meant to say, you have all the power, you're going to become greater than Jesus. What these verses say is, if your heart can align with the way my heart is, that I just want to honor the Father. He says, if you can walk in my ways and you can get your heart to align with, I just want to do what will ever honor the Father, then you can begin to ask things, because you would never ask for anything that doesn't honor the Father. And when you can get to that alignment, everything you ask will happen, because you've come into alignment with the Father. You're going to end up super prideful and frustrated when you go, I'm telling Jesus what he needs to be doing and he's not listening to me. Well, that's because you're just trying to make the Bible serve you. And I don't want to park here, but I want to talk about it. Some of you guys online or in the building, you've been hurt by people. You go, those Christians, those church-going people, what I can tell you is sometimes you've encountered people who they love the Bible as long as it serves them. Those are not Christ followers. Those are people who idolize themselves, but they're willing to use parts of the Bible to idolize themselves. And they're super detrimental. It's crazy. The longer I follow Jesus, the more I've encountered people who they can quote some Bible as long as it makes me serve them, or they can quote some Bible as long as it serves them, but you're also like, but this is what Jesus says, and they're like, I'm out. Well, we're going to learn in John chapter 14, that's not how this goes. Is, I don't want to be a spoiler, but I am. Jesus teaches point blank, if you love me, you'll obey me. So the idea that Jesus would look down and watch us running around quoting Bible verses to people and then going, but Jesus says, yeah, but if you love me, you'll do this. And you go, I'm out. He goes, you're not following me. And so we've got to know pride can bring turmoil to our life, but we can ask. We can ask, and the Lord will do things in us and through us when our hearts align with, I want to bring honor to the Lord. I want to lay my life down to honor the Lord. So what we learn from this, if we're talking about peace and walking in peace, is we are not greater than Jesus, but Jesus can do great things through us. We're not greater than Jesus, but Jesus can do great things through us. And Jesus is saying, I want to do even greater things through you. If you'll live your life to honor the Father, he says, I'll do great things in you. I'll do great things through you if you'll lay your life down. But pride can bring turmoil to our life. Look at verse 15, because Jesus is continuing to teach on how we can live a life of peace. Verse 15 says, where did this come from? If you love me, obey my commandments. That's just a shocker. We didn't know that was coming. Verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. Underline or highlight this. This is super important, because this is Jesus teaching about who Holy Spirit is, who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Look at Jesus as he's teaching his disciples who are panicking. They're fearful that Jesus is leaving them. He goes, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I'll love them and reveal myself to each of them. So Jesus, as he teaches, how do we live a life of peace? How do we not let turmoil into our hearts? How do we not let our hearts be troubled? He says, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. If you give your life to Christ and walk in my ways, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, what does he teach? Will guide us into all truth. That's the first thing. So we're going to be guided into all truth. And then he's not going to abandon us as orphans, but he's going to come to us. So you ever been through anything difficult in life before? Did somebody say no? Somebody said no. I was like, y'all, you need to get up here and preach this message. I'm like, we got things to learn. I've been through a couple things difficult. I think our human experience is we live in a broken, sinful world. We've been through some things that are difficult. But one of the thoughts, one of the things we get tempted with when we start to go through something hard is, well, God's abandoned me. Yeah. Right? That's what we think sometimes when we start to go through something really hard, something difficult. God has abandoned me. But what he's teaching his disciples, his closest followers in this moment, is when things get hard, when there is external turmoil, do not believe that I've left you and abandoned you and left you as orphans. He goes, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth, who will be there with you and make sure you know I've not left you. I have not left you. I am with you. We cannot trust the external circumstances of life to tell us about who God is, even though we're going to be tempted to because we're human beings. Verse 22 says, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own, but what I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, underline or highlight this, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. So Jesus is teaching a second thing that Holy Spirit comes and does in our life is not only will he guide us into all truth, but he will teach us everything and remind us of what Jesus has said. Holy Spirit will remind us what has Jesus said and then help us go do that because those who love Jesus do what he says, right? If you're still with me, you're like, no, that makes sense. That's what you said. If we love Jesus, we'll obey him. And Holy Spirit is going to remind us of what Jesus has told us. If you want to live a life loving Jesus, Holy Spirit has been sent us to help us walk in that way. I truly do not believe that you're about to go do greater things than Jesus if you're like in my own strength. I'm like, absolutely not. But if Jesus sends Holy Spirit to live inside of you and you begin to live a life of I submit to the Holy Spirit who's been sent by Jesus to help me be guided into all truth, to be reminded of everything he said and to live out what he's taught, then maybe by the power of Holy Spirit, we can begin to do things that are the Lord working great things in us and through us. We're not abandoned. We've not been left alone. If we give our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is sent into our life to live in us and to begin to do great things in us and through us to honor the Father. The last verses I want to have us look at is verse 27. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Underline and highlight that. Think about where we started in verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then by verse 27, he says, I'm leaving you with the gift. It's peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you'd be happy that I'm going to the Father who's greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen so that when they do, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. In the context of what's going on is he's teaching this, and he's about to be betrayed shortly after this and arrested, going to be crucified, and rise from the dead 3 days later. So if you're here for Easter and all of those things we were talking about, this is happening not long before all that comes to pass. So Jesus is trying to teach, trying to impart, trying to give this. He's trying to coach them. Listen, I know you've got turmoil right now, but I'm about to be arrested. It's going to feel like more turmoil. I'm about to be crucified on a cross. You're about to feel like there's more turmoil, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled, which is wild to think about. Can you think about Jesus right before he's arrested and betrayed by one of your fellow brothers, arrested? And then you watch him be crucified and killed on a cross. And one of the last things he's telling you is, don't let your hearts be troubled. It's wild. But Jesus, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Which is super interesting in light of verse 1 when Jesus says, I'm going to give you a gift. And it's the state of being that your soul can be like those calm waters. Your soul can be at peace. Your soul and mind can have rest in me. You can have peace, but don't let things of the world come in and trouble the waters of your soul. You can't control the world around you, but you can control what you're choosing to let into the depths of your soul. And he says, don't let the things of this world stir the waters of your soul, because I've given you a gift and it's peace. So when we let the things of this world in, what we're saying is, move aside the gifts of God. I want the things of the world instead. Sometimes we pray, Lord, give me peace, grant me things. And Jesus said, I've already given it to you. I've already given it to you. You've decided to let things of the world, which is an external turmoil, which is an external thing that's difficult, you've let that in. It's not that you need something from me. We need to remove some things out of you. Because I've already given it to you. And I get it. Like we talked about at the very beginning, as someone who's really, truly dealt with anxiety and things, like, I understand the turmoil that we can sometimes go through, and it's hard and it's difficult, right? It's hard. We live in a world where we've got all these wars going on. We've got economic things going on. We've got political things going on. We live in an angry and divisive society. Then once you add in things that we can't control, like things about our health or maybe things financially or all these things, once you add all of that in, you're like, my gosh, I got to build the Great Wall of China around my heart. Right. It'd be easy to let some things come in and stir the waters of my soul. And I think that's where we've got to go. Where are we putting our attention? Where are we putting our attention? Because that really will dictate what we're allowing into our heart and our soul. As we close out, the peace of mind and hearts is not something we're able to obtain through works, right? We can't obtain it through controlling enough. We can't obtain it through pride. And we can only obtain it by submitting to who God is and letting him do great things in us and through us. And so if we're wanting to be people who have a peace, who don't let our hearts be troubled. And what the Bible is saying is we need less of our ego. We need less of our own ways. And we say, Jesus, come and work in me and through me. I need to love Jesus more, because when I love Jesus more, I'll obey what he says. I'll walk in his ways. He'll do great things in me and through me. And right now, you may be living a life where you feel like there is turmoil all around you, but I can tell you, we are called to move among a deeply troubled world with a deep level of peace. Amen. If you call yourself a Christ follower, what Jesus is teaching in John chapter 14 is we are called to move among a deeply troubled world with a deep level of peace. What that means is each and every one of us is supposed to walk through a world that's full of turmoil, and there's calm waters that walk through. And when people taste and see that, they go, that is miraculous. There's something different. And you go, yeah, that's because the Lord is capable of doing great things in me and through me. It's not, I want to introduce you to me. I want to introduce you to the one who's doing it through me. That's why I tell you all the time, we shouldn't elevate pastors on pedestals. Shouldn't elevate staff members on pedestals and leaders on pedestals. Why? We're elevating just a vessel at that point. You're going to get let down. What we need to do is elevate the one who's working in that vessel. We need to elevate Jesus. Jesus is the one who's capable of doing great things in us and through us. That's who we need to elevate. And so as we close out, has your heart and mind become troubled? So I want us to take a moment and I want us to pray together. Because whether you're online or here in the building, the reality is we live in a deeply troubled world. We live in a world where there's so many things that are outside of our control. We live in a world that, quite frankly, there's no way to get through without experiencing incredibly hard things. And so you may come in today and you go, my heart and my mind is trembled. There's a turmoil going on. There is something that has put a ripple effect through the calm waters of my soul. And I want us to just have a moment, excuse me, to bring it to the Lord. and to say, Lord, you've said in your word to not let my heart be troubled. You've said that you've given a gift of peace. And so first and foremost, maybe you've never given your life to Christ, and this is your moment to say, Jesus, come be the Lord of my life. Come take the turmoiled waters of my soul and bring peace. Forgive me of my sins. Send the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in your ways. Come bring still waters to my soul, Jesus. And maybe you're here and you know you've given your life to Jesus, and you know that, man, there's some things of this world that have been let in and they've brought turmoil to my soul, even though I'm supposed to be able to have peace. We need to take a moment to confess those things to the Lord, to bring those things to the Lord and say, Jesus, I confess these things to you, and I'm thankful that you're faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing anything of this world in to bring turmoil to my soul. Help me to walk at peace. Help me to trust in you and you alone. Help me to trust that there is a plan in place and I am not the plan. Come do great things in me. Come do great things through me for the honor of the Father. Jesus, I trust you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. As we close out, you can stay seated. You can stand and worship. We're going to have prayer leaders available on the side of the building if you just need encouragement. Someone to pray with you. The altar's open if you need to come lay some things down. But let's respond to what the Lord is doing in our hearts and our minds.